Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back, episode 29. It is September 1st, 2016. Happy Thursday. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are at, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I hope everybody is well. So last week I was teaching a class. I teach part-time as well as do other things. Podcasting is one of them. But I was teaching a class last week to some students, and the topic was interview and interrogation. And one of my students came to me afterwards, and we started talking about false confessions because she had done some research prior on her own and was interested in false confessions. And she started talking about the Innocent Project. And for those of you who don't know about the Innocent Project, it's been around since, I believe, 1992. It has been around since 1992. And it was founded by two guys who wanted to do some good and to try to work for people who were wrongly incarcerated. It's a national litigation and public policy organization. And again, they're dedicated to exonerating people who are wrongly convicted, and they do this through DNA testing. And you can check them out at innocentproject.org and read about them more. I think it's a good organization, and I think there are people out there who are wrongly convicted, and they are sentenced to prison. We are not a perfect system. I've always said that, and I said that to my student. We are not a perfect system. We do make some mistakes. But according to the Innocent Project, there is about... they have exonerated about 344 people who have been wrongly convicted and sentenced to prison. That's a lot of people. But if you look at the overall population of the United States and the overall population of people incarcerated, which I think is about 2.5 million, almost 3 million, the percentage is fairly small. Now, you could argue that there's more people in prison that are, you know, that probably shouldn't be there. Maybe that's the case. But I do believe that the majority of people in prison need to be there. And maybe I'm a little jaded, probably, because I'm law enforcement. But I believe in our system, and I hope you do. And we're not a perfect system, but the majority of people in prison deserve to be there, right? So I started looking at the Innocent Project, started coming across some of their literature, and they started talking about false confessions and why people give false confessions to law enforcement. So I wanted to talk to that a little bit. You know, and again, according to the Innocent Project, which again is dedicated to exonerating wrongly convicted people through DNA testing, there's a list which they came up with why a person may falsely admit to a crime that he or she did not commit. And again, there's a variety of factors why people do this. So one of the reasons is duress. You know, people are just under stress. They're scared. They're under duress. They want it just... whatever is happening, they want the interrogation to end. So they will admit to something that they didn't do. It sounds crazy, but there have been cases of this, that people are under duress and they will admit to something they didn't do. Coercion, you know, there have been instances in the past where law enforcement and investigators, detectives have coerced people into a false confession. Intoxication. This one was an interesting thing for me, because I don't know any investigators out there, and I used to be a detective, and that if we saw any signs of intoxication or impairment, that we would keep on interrogating. And again, maybe, you know, in the case of a public safety exception where we needed information really, really quick, maybe that's an exception. But if I see any signs of intoxication or, you know, any other signs of being under the influence, that is guaranteed going to be an objection. That's guaranteed to be a motion to get that thrown out of court, because it's a perfect defense for a defense attorney. Hey, my client was is intoxicated. The investigators knew it, that my client was under the influence. They were drunk. So why would you do that? I probably wouldn't. Maybe there are some who would. But if somebody's showing signs of impairment or intoxication, I'm not going to interrogate them. That's just me. Diminished capacity was another topic that they cited. Diminished capacity, maybe they have some mental issues going on. Mental impairment is the next one. Ignorance of the law, this is interesting. So what they're proposing is, well, you know, they didn't know the law and, you know, they're going to prison, you know, based on false confessions. Well, first of all, folks, and we all know this, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You are presumed to know the law. It's kind of like you pull somebody over for speeding, right? And they say, well, officer, I'm from out of town. I didn't know what the speed limit was. Oh, okay. Well, no. you are presumed to know the law. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So I thought that that was an interesting one. Fear of violence, I'm assuming by law enforcement. The actual infliction of harm, again, I'm assuming this means law enforcement. The threat of a harsh sentence, okay. Misunderstanding the situation. I think as investigators, and again, most of us know this, we're going to do an interview before we do the interrogation, right? So if there, hopefully, is there any misunderstanding of information, hopefully the suspect and the investigator, I'd like to think, is going to kind of clarify, maybe make it clear to them of what's going on. So again, interesting stuff. So again, this is from the Innocent Project. So according to them, perhaps the biggest realization that law enforcement can take from the review of false confessions is that they need to be ever vigilant and on guard for false confessions that may be given by someone who is not guilty of a crime. I agree with that. We need to be on the lookout for that, the possibility of a false confession. But folks, and again, we all know this, you know, even if you have a confession, the majority of times you're going to have evidence to support that, right? So if somebody falsely confesses to something they didn't do, I like to think, maybe I'm just a simpleton, that you're going to have evidence that supports that they didn't do that, right? The one thing about the, you know, some of the stuff that's out there online, and some people, you know, that kind of believe that all these people are in prison that are innocent, is that they think that people are just getting thrown into prison just based off confessions, like my student. And that's not the case. The totality of the circumstances, we've heard that word many, many times before. It's the totality of everything, taking in consideration of everything, all the evidence, along with the confession or absence of the confession. You don't need a confession to get a conviction. It helps, but you don't need one. We all know that. Law enforcement needs to realize that there are various reasons why people appear deceptive, according to the Innocent Project, and I agree with that. For example, according to them, they may be deceptive to cover some other type of action they may wish to keep secret that really has nothing to do with the crime being committed. That might be the case. But just because somebody is being deceptive doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, they're thinking about some other thing that we don't want law enforcement to find out about. Maybe. But again, this is according to the project. A police should videotape or at least audio record as many interrogations as possible. We do that now. I don't know any law enforcement agencies out there. Maybe there are due to, you know, monetary constraints, maybe. But the majority of agencies out there do audio and video record. And again, the one thing that, again, some people don't realize is that any evidence, whether a false confession or, you know, lack of evidence, is going to be submitted to the district attorney's office for review. So if the DA, district attorney's office, has information to believe that there's a false confession and law enforcement, you know, says, yeah, it's a false confession, you know, guess what? The DA is not going to, they're not going to go forward with the case. The only time the district attorney's office is going to take a case, the majority of time, is if they know that they can win the case and there's good evidence. Having just a confession, ask any district attorney. It's okay. It's not the smoking gun that people think it is, unless you have corroborating evidence. So again, even if you have a false confession, we're going to get with the DA with that information, and we're going to go over the case. If the DA doesn't want to push the case, they're not going to do it, or they don't think they can win. They are not going to press forward with that, and they shouldn't. So I hope this was interesting. It was interesting to kind of research this topic again for me, because it does happen. And I go over to the Innocent Project. I think it's a good organization, and there are people out there that have been wrongly incarcerated. I really do feel for them. I do, and it's horrible. And again, no amount of money or compensation can ever take the place of those years lost in prison. But I do believe, folks, that the majority of prison, our people in prison deserve to be there. That's just my opinion. And while false confessions do occur, they don't occur as many times as people think. So with that, I'm going to head I'm going to go and sign off. I hope you have a fantastic Thursday, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. If you would head over to iTunes, and my outro will say the same thing, but I'm going to say it again. If you head over to iTunes, rate and review this podcast, I really would appreciate it. So with that, take care, everybody, and be safe. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.